Our guests on today's KHSU Magazine are Jill Larrabee and Tina Sampe of the NAACP of Eureka. Jill is the chair of the Education Committee, and Tina Sampe is the co-chair of the Legal Redress Committee. And February is Black History Month, and the NAACP has a series of events to honor Black history in the United States. And there's a documentary film series, an essay contest, and a book drive, and some other events. Thank you so much, Tina and Jill, for being here to tell us about what you have coming up.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Oh, so glad you're here. Let's start with the documentary series. You have your first screening this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And can you tell us about the film that you're showing this Thursday and what you have coming up the rest of the month?
So it's going to be at the D Street Neighborhood Center, and it starts at 6:30. And it will be the documentary by Ava DuVernay, 13th, and it's about the 13th Amendment and from 13th Amendment to the prison industrial complex of today and how it's affecting our society.
Which amendment is the 13th Amendment?
It's the abolition of slavery, but at the end of the amendment itself, it has the caveat unless they are a criminal. And that's when the prison industrial complex becomes larger and larger, and you see it today, and what's happening with the corporatization of prisons and the disconnect between people of color in prison versus white people.
Right. And Tina, can you tell us about the two other films that are coming up in the documentary series? These are Thursday nights at 6:30 at the D Street Community Center in Arcata.
Right. And yeah, so the first one, 13th, will be this Thursday. And then the second one will be Thursday, February 22nd at 6:30 p.m. And we are scheduled to show Unsolved Hate, which is a documentary that some students from Sac State came to Humboldt to do about the murder of Josiah Lawson. And the girl whose project it was, she has agreed to come to town to premiere this documentary. And then on Wednesday, February 28th at 6:30 p.m. at the D Street Neighborhood Center, we'll be showing Whose Streets, which is about the Ferguson uprising, which came, and about Mike Brown, the murder of Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that'll be Wednesday, February 28th. And we'll also be announcing the winners of the essay contest at this, at that day.
Okay. And so I'm sorry, I got that wrong. So the first two screenings are on Thursdays, but the third screening is on Wednesdays, and they're all at 6:30.
Right.
They're all free and mm-hmm. open to the public.
Yes.
And you do encourage bring snacks to share and things like that.
Yes.
Right.
And there's going to be a discussion after each event.
Yes. Right, exactly. Yeah. Even though maybe a way to remember the last film screening, Whose Streets, and the winners of the essay contest is that is the last day of Black History Month.
Okay.
Yes.
Last day of February.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So tell me a bit about Black History Month. When did it start? And I don't know. I mean, I guess I've heard, you know, why does it just have to be one month?
Right.
But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's my understanding that, Carter G. Woodson is like the father of Black History Week that might have turned into a month. Excuse me, do not quote me on this.
That's
but
okay.
You can
That's
quote
okay.
me
it's
on the right. fact that Carter G. Woodson was the Black scholar that introduced the idea of celebrating Black history. He wrote the Miseducation of the Negro, which I recommend people go and pick up if they can. But he basically wanted to, you know, show the achievements and the contributions that African American people have contributed to the Americas and even beyond. And especially within the context that historically Black people have been removed from that history, and we've also been made to feel inferior because we are black. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to introduce this Black History celebration as a way to note these figures and to restore racial pride within African Americans.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's definitely sounds worthwhile, and it's good to get these books out there and these films out there, and
yes, ma'am.
And have people contribute their own stories with this essay contest. So,
right.
Tell us about the essay contest that you have, the Stay Woke contest for HSU students
and CR students as well.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. So it's open to all HSU students and CR students. And the prompt is, what does the term Stay Woke mean to you within the context of Black history? And for people that are on social media a lot, the term Stay Woke is a term that is used very frequently. And so we just wanted to kind of use that as a way to grab the attention of the younger, you know, audience, those people who frequent social media, the college students, to relate, you know, Black History Month to something that they see frequently. And so that's how we came up with that prompt. And so there will be a $300 first place cash prize and two honorable mention prizes, which will be $50 and a gift card to a local restaurant. The requirements, of course, HSU and CR, current student, 2-page maximum and, you know, just 12-point double-spaced. And like I said, winners will be announced at the end of the month at the on the 28th of February.
So for some of our listeners who may not, you know, use the term or be really aware of the term Stay Woke, I mean, what does that mean to you two?
Well, for me personally, Stay Woke definitely means using your third eye, the pineal gland, you know, maybe in a way that understanding the way that you as a person of color and your person as political and understanding the way that you relate to institutions and systems of white supremacy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And as you progress throughout your life and you're trying to attain success, you know, like, how do you stay woke and understand your person as political, as a person of color, and still be successful without compromising certain things. Mm-hmm. It means different things for different people, but for me personally, that's what it means, you know, ish. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. It
Don't
makes
worry,
a lot
I'll
of sense.
I'll write something and y'all see it on my,
are you gonna
on
write
my
an
website.
Essay?
Oh yeah, not for the contest, just for my personal yeah, because I definitely want to toy around with that idea and you know, see what I come up with myself. But I can write way better than I talk. Excuse me, sorry.
me too. So like, well, doing radio is kind of crazy.
Right.
What about you, Jill?
Well, as a white woman, Stay Woke is important for white people to start really accepting and acknowledging their place in society, and especially in the United States society, and how our role is complicit in oppression, even if we think that we aren't. And just being more and more aware of systems of power and oppression and, you know, centering people of color at all times.
Yeah, I think it's a good term. I mean, because there's kind of an awakening that mm-hmm. needs to mm-hmm. happen to, you know, just a kind of waking up your compassion and your understanding and just a more realistic view of
right.
how things happen in the world and
right.
what our part is.
Because with white supremacist culture, we have a merit-based system. And when we are in a merit-based system, we put poverty, we put skin color, and we put all those in a class where you're not worthy. So once we can get beyond that and get woke and use your third eye, like Tina was saying, you see how ridiculous that really is when we are enacting in the world together.
Right. I think all of that, too, is just a way to eliminate the competition, you know? I mean,
right.
and just stay in a dominant
divide position. And conquer.
It just doesn't mean anything, but boy, you know, for that to continue, we all have to buy into it to some degree. And so, I mean, just as women too, you know, it's something that we've had to kind of buy into for it to continue. And it's good to just not buy into it anymore, you know, not buy into it anymore, regardless of what's being pushed on you in the media and socially too, you know?
Right.
Definitely.
So one way too is to read.
Yes.
All this great literature. Right. Yes. Yeah, I mean there's so much to learn that we just don't learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so you all are doing a book drive for some local schools. Tell us about the book drive. We have a couple of minutes left, so.
Okay. Sure. So our goal is to collect 200 books, and they're from K through 12, and we would like them to be Black authors, Black culture, or Black history, because it is for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. We would love to do other book drives in the future for mm-hmm. other different causes, but this right now. And they can be used, they could mm-hmm. be new, and appropriate to the age levels, and mm-hmm. Go ahead and we donate them at the Humboldt County Office of Education. And some of the libraries,
right? The Arcata Library.
Arcata Library. KHSU is also a drop-off place. And the African American Center for Academic Excellence also has a book drop-off location as well.
Thank you, guys.
Also, one more. UPS in Eureka. I went to go get a box, and the lady said they would set up a box there. So also a place. And yes. Okay.
Yeah. And if any of the other any community libraries or anyone is hearing this and they don't have a box and want to collect, go ahead and collect them and mm-hmm. let us know.
Yes.
Excellent.
Email us. Let us know.
And you have an elementary school and a high school that you're going to be donating the books to?
Right. Eureka High School has already agreed to, we talked to their librarian and they were very excited and they agreed, but we're still looking for our middle school. So we're still looking to choose the middle school. Mm-hmm. So TBA.
Right.
Well, reach out to us.
Yeah, if you want to use these books and make them available to your students,
mm-hmm.
there'll be 200 books mm-hmm. gathered. I'm sure. I'm sure you won't have a problem with that. So, and then there are some other events that we don't have information on. Was there one other thing that you guys wanted to talk
there's
about?
There's going to be an African dance and storytelling by a student, a graduate student at Del Arte, and a HSU student. And we don't have the date yet, so I didn't feel comfortable saying all the information, but it will be, I think, at the Pan Arts Building with steel drums and storytelling, and it'll be interactive and with children as well. So
it'll be great. Wonderful! Yeah. Is that the student from Zimbabwe? Who's there?
No, I think she's from New York.
Okay.
But as soon as we get that information, we'll post that to mm-hmm. the Eureka Facebook page. So please be on the lookout for that.
We're out of time. So maybe if you could just tell us about the Facebook page and your website and where people can get more information.
Right. So we'll be updating. We're updating our website as we speak. So by tomorrow, all this information will be there at eurekanaacp.org. And you can email us at contact@eurekanaacp.org. And we have a Facebook page, EurekaNAACP. Soon to be Twitter and Instagram. We're, you know.
Right. And if any HSU professors or faculty are interested in helping to facilitate the discussion for the film screenings, please reach out to the Eureka NAACP email, or please contact Jill mm-hmm. At
contact. We'll just do
Okay. Contact at the EurekaNAACP.org. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tina Sampe and Jill Larrabee.
Thank you.
Come back anytime. It sounds like you've got an incredible list of events. Mm-hmm. But the first one is this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. D Street Community Center, and it's a screening of 13th.
Bring snacks.
All right. Okay. Bring enough to share.
No pressure, though.